This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Celeste Headlee. Michelle Martin is away. If I asked you to think or name a black musician, you'd probably name someone who played jazz, maybe blues, rock and roll, of course. But the rich heritage of African Americans in classical music is all too often overlooked, or sometimes simply unknown. The Gateways Music Festival hopes to change that. We're listening to the Gateways Festival Orchestra performing Martin Abel's Dance for Martin from the festival in 2011. Today, the Gateways Music Festival celebrates its 20th anniversary in Rochester, New York. The festival features world-class musicians and conductors of African heritage and celebrates their contributions to classical music. They're free concerts. They take place in unexpected venues at times, like synagogues and libraries, and they offer a new perspective and certainly a fresh aural experience to anyone who hears them. Joining us now, two members of the Gateways Festival Orchestra, cellist Kenneth Law and violinist Kelly Hall Tompkins. They're also both members of the festival's Artistic Programs Committee. Welcome to the both of you.
Thank you very much.
You know, after all these years, the statistics, I'm sure you know this, on African Americans in classical music are very grim. Less than 3% of the musicians in our professional orchestras are black. But I wonder what it's like for you at Gateways. You suddenly find yourself in a room full of African-American classical musicians. Kelly, what is that like?
Well, actually, the trend of having a community of African-American musicians began long ago, and it's really not quite as rare as people might think. I was a student here at the Eastman School of Music, and perhaps when I was a freshman, I think I was one of only a handful. But when I was a sophomore, there were more. When I was a junior and senior, there were more and more. And finally, when I moved to New York City, there were enough of us to create several orchestras. So having a community of African-American musicians is really wonderful. I think I credit Armenta Hummings for having conceived of the Gateways Festival and bringing us together in this way. But it's fantastic. I mean, when I grew up in South Carolina, I had mostly Caucasian friends, which was fine. But I had two African-American parents who had associations, professional associations of African Americans. And I thought, well, in my chosen profession, I will just probably not have that. And that's a shame, but that's just the way it is. And I found that that's nothing could be further from the truth. I have a wonderful association of professional African American classical musicians that I really enjoy meeting with every 2 years at this festival.
And yet, Kenneth, it's kind of a thorny problem because, I mean, as Kelly said quite rightly, the tradition of classical music for African Americans goes back hundreds of years. And yet, as a black musician in a professional orchestra, that can be a lonely position to be. You look up on stage in most of our major orchestras, at least, and you're only going to see a few black or brown faces. What is the disconnect here?
That's very true. There are so few African-American faces in these American orchestras, and there are any number of issues that come into play. One may be just lack of exposure to classical music. I was very fortunate to have grown up in a musical family where my mother is a pianist and a retired music school teacher, elementary music teacher. And my sister, although she's an attorney by trade, she also plays flute and piano. So I grew up with the family chamber ensemble. I also went to a church that did Bach cantatas and Brahms. And so I grew up in that classical tradition. And so for me to actually find out that African Americans did not have that connection was something of a surprise to me. And so the challenge for me actually is to find ways of making that classical music more accessible to the younger generation and also to my own colleagues as well. Unfortunately, there is a problem, but I think that there are lots of things that are being done, including the Gateways Festival, to help solve that problem.
What do you think, Kelly?
I want to go back to the point that there are some amazingly talented African American artists that are out on the scene, and they are disproportionately not getting the positions that they sometimes rightly deserve as often as they should, and that is starting to change now. I noticed, there's a little bit of an issue of, people want to program ethnic programming for the month of February.
Because that's Black History Month, right?
Exactly. But the presenters and the organizations that are really serious about presenting the greatest artists out there are the ones for whom you will see African-American artists in other months of the year as well. Mm-hmm. So I think certainly the Metropolitan Opera has recognized a lot of the Black talent out there, their principal trumpet player and clarinet player and assistant principal trombone player are all African-American. And that's, I think that people are starting to get the positions that they truly merit. But I think that there's sometimes a disconnect in, quite honestly, people being able to envision African-Americans in these positions. I frequently introduce myself as a violinist and people say, oh, wow, that's so terrific. Where do you sing? And their mind automatically goes to it because we have such a wonderful tradition of African-American singers, but I would like for people to recognize, you know, that we have an equally large and growing tradition of African-American string players.
Well, let's hear you playing here. This is a piece from your own album, Kelly. Your album is called In My Own Voice. I want to emphasize here that you were the one that chose that piece for us to play because that is actually by my grandfather.
Yes.
That piece is called Summerland. He's the Dean of African American Composers. Many people don't know the work of my grandfather, William Grant Still, and yet this is a man who was writing well back into the early 20th century. And Kelly, why that particular piece?
In that particular album, In My Own Voice, I chose seven different pieces. A lot of people tend to record single composer albums, but I have never really had a lot of interest in that. I like to show breadth. I like to show my imagination. I like to show a lot of different voices and characters, and each of the seven pieces on that album give me some new opportunity to express some new voice within me. And that William Grant Still piece is just a gorgeous piece I've been playing since school. I'm a Francophile, so that piece to me combines a lot of the richness of the African-American heritage with a French harmonic language that is just very appealing. But all of classical music, really, there's something about, I frequently tell people, it's 400 years or plus of describing through musical language the human experience. And I relate to all of it. And so I love the idea that there's so many voices through which we can express these incredible emotions and the incredible power of the human experience.
So, Kenneth, it's stereotypical that people would question you, as Kelly was saying, that they assume she's a singer, but they would question you about being in classical music. I mean, have you had friends or people that you've interacted with that have questioned the decision to be in classical, that have thought that maybe that's not part of Black culture?
Oh, absolutely. I've had family members tell me that. In fact, I have an aunt who grew up in the South, basically, and she knew that I played the cello. This is after I had gone to the Eastman School of Music. I had studied chamber music at the Peabody Conservatory and the Juilliard School, had gone off and started a professional career as a quartet player, and I went to visit my aunt. And so we were sitting talking and just, you know, having a great time. And then finally, you know, all of a sudden she just says, so are you still playing that white folks music? And, you know, that kind of took me by surprise a little bit. I was very respectful and answered her and said, well, yes, but but there's a difference there. I mean, it's not just for them. It's for everyone. And I think that generalization actually is something that is very prevalent in the culture.
Similarly, I've had people, very well-meaning people, say to me, oh, you play the violin? Oh, isn't that wonderful? You play classical music? Uh-huh. Well, maybe one of these days you'll switch over to play our music. And I just tell them, this is our music.
Exactly.
This is so much my music. I claim it. You know, it is so much part of me. I can't separate myself.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about African American heritage in classical music to celebrate the Gateways Music Festival, which is this week in Rochester, New York. And we're talking to world-class chamber musicians Kenneth Law and Kelly Hall Tompkins. Kenneth, I want to play a little more music here. This is a YouTube clip from the festival in 2011, and you had two young students playing violin. Let's take a listen. Oh, that reminds me of hot summer days being forced to practice my violin. Tell me what this conversation is like with young kids today who maybe they haven't made assumptions about what is black music and what is white music. What's that conversation like, Kenneth?
Well, actually, I live in Washington, D.C., and I teach at the Potomac Arts Academy, which is a community ed division of George Mason University. And I have a studio of about 32 students there now, 28-piece cello choir. And out of 32 students, I have one black student.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. She's a wonderful young lady. And the conversations that I have with her are very, very interesting. And they're different from the conversations that I have with my other students, simply because we can relate to the classical experience.
And being the only African-American in the room, right?
Exactly. So I'm sympathetic, I'm empathetic, and can offer her some advice and some insights that will hopefully inspire her to continue. She's a good player, and I'm just very proud of her and want her to continue.
Kelly, what is the next generation missing? Because for those people who assume that classical music is not part of the black tradition, and I want to be very clear, that is not true. That's factually incorrect. But what does that mean? What result does it have when a generation or two generations leaves classical music out of their cultural history?
I think it's a great, tremendous loss. The music is so incredibly rich. We're integrally part of it. I believe it has so much to offer us interpersonally, personally, spiritually. And I believe that actually there are a growing number, similar to the little budding Tiger Woods out there who, once they got introduced to the world of golf, are somehow now smitten with it because they've seen a role model. There are tons of African-American young students that are starting instruments and that are also becoming quite advanced and world-class players. But I think that what may be missing among some people, if you didn't have someone... for me, it wasn't African-American role models in music. It was, of course, my mother was always a role model beyond, in all fields of endeavor, which I applied to the one I was interested in. But I had people in South Carolina who took an interest in me, who let me know what the cultural conversation was, what the culturally relevant musical experiences were for a young person, and helped introduce me to those and said, well, you're really a good national talent. You should audition for this festival and this teacher and this school and that. And it's important to have someone along the way who can do that for you. What may be missing is a disconnect for some people who find themselves in an isolated place as the only African-American string player. If they don't have someone who can understand just their passion for classical music, which is also just rare in our society, unfortunately, across all races. But what's important is to have somebody who can, I hate to use the word mentor, it's overused, but who can introduce you to the path that we take when we become serious about classical music. That's an important, and for us also the question of instruments, which are terribly expensive and difficult to come by. It's important not to have that be the gap. But I think I see a lot of young people who are interested in classical music and who are following that voice on their own, which is what I did as a young person.
So, Kenneth, maybe what's missing really is that Tiger Woods of classical music. What difference do you think it would make if we had, say, an African-American who wasn't the star power of a Yo-Yo Ma or an Itzhak Perlman?
I really don't feel that we need to have that kind of iconic figure. Actually, I think, classical music and just that whole idea of classical music as being an integral part of your life is enough. and just really understanding the universality of music, and that classical music has no less importance or no more importance than any other style of music. You can express yourself exactly the same way in classical music that you can in other forms of music. And in fact, one of the reasons why I started playing the cello was because I was able to express myself in a way that I wouldn't have been able to otherwise. And so for me, there really would not be a certain, you know, that we wouldn't need necessarily that figure, but we would need that education.
Well, what I found also is I founded a program in New York City called Music Kitchen, Food for the Soul, 8 years ago, where I bring high-level, top chamber music artists in performance in homeless shelters. And the reaction there has been unbelievably positive and just overwhelming. And that is among people who are potentially former Carnegie Hall subscribers who may find themselves homeless now. But that's also among neophytes not only to classical music but to any live music at all. To hear people cheer like it's the Super Bowl, you know, to the end of Brahms' G major sextet is incredibly inspiring. And I think it tells me a lot about the power of classical music when rendered in a certain way, accessible way. So I think that while iconic figures are helpful in some ways to certain people at different times, and gosh, I just adore Yo-Yo Ma. I grew up listening to Yo-Yo Ma. Mm-hmm. He is my iconic figure.
Yes.
I did not need him to be African-American for that to be the case. But I think that there are other ways to communicate music in a powerful way that just sweeps people up. I've experienced it with Music Kitchen. I've experienced it as, you know, myself as a young person. I fell in love with classical music on my own. Nobody told me it was great. I just fell in love with it, and I got the fancy education second. But mm-hmm. I think the important thing is that just the connection, you know, I saw this as a child, and I said, yes, that is who I am. That's what I want to do. And I really am powerfully moved by this experience, and I want to keep doing it.
Kelly Hall Tompkins and Kenneth Law, they're both chamber musicians participating in the Gateways Music Festival this year. They joined us from member station WXXI in Rochester, New York. Thank you both so much.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
I'm Celeste Headlee. You've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News, and we'll talk more tomorrow.